Everybody, Sunday Night Fights Live. I want to give a big shout out to our great sponsor, Takedown Grappleware, bringing you this show every Sunday, exposing the SoCal MMA scene. I also want to give a big shout out to a new sponsor who will be joining the show in the next couple of weeks, and that's Jax Media, jaxmedia.ca. You're going to see a ridiculously new logo and some new artwork for the web, for the Facebook page coming along through these guys. They do everything from fighter bios to T-shirts and everything in between, websites, the works. They're the ones who run and has done all of our logos and website at MMAMadhouse.com. So I'd like to welcome Jax and James, the owner of Jax Media, to the team. We'll be getting all that locked down in the next week or two, and you'll see them and Persist Headwear bringing you the best news, the best podcast on SoCal MMA. But now that I've done my talking, I know the fans are waiting. It's been seven long days, and yes, we have the Intercontinental Champ of MMA Talk Radio live from SoCal right now with us, Mr. Ray Lopez.
What's up, Skippy, and what's up to all the listeners out there? You heard it. Jax Media is putting on lock. Glad to have them aboard. I can't wait to see what they got coming for us.
I have to agree. Obviously, you know, this being your show, you're going to have a huge say in it. So far, the parameters, he's like, I know you guys want to use the traditional Madhouse skull in it somehow. I was like, dude, this has got to scream SoCal. I was like, you know, whatever you're doing, this has to scream SoCal. You know, so I kind of gave him a little bio about you, and you know, I touched on the fact that, you know, I would say a majority of our listeners to the show are Hispanic in culture. So I said I'd like it to have that kind of flavor, you know, to show a little bit of love back to the community, as well as representing you and the show. So obviously we'll get to sit down and go back and forth with him over the stuff, and you'll get the final say on everything. But I'm excited. He does great work.
Dude, I'm excited. I mean, it's great. I can't wait. You know, I'm scrolling through my Facebook right now, and I see a picture of Bellator champ Emmanuel Newton, all playing dress up with his daughter. That is freaking awesome. There is one of the baddest men on the planet, wearing sunglasses and earrings and a pink hat. That is awesome. I mean, you know, I know I do the same with my daughters when they were little, and you know, for somebody of his stature to be doing that and posting the picture on Facebook, that is awesome. Emmanuel Newton is a great guy.
Oh yeah. Oh, definitely. Go ahead, you run with it. I was just going to say, you know that Facebook post, it says when a two-year-old hands you the phone, no matter how big and scary you are, you answer it. It's that kind of thing, you know? You know what I mean?
Oh, exactly. You know, me having more daughters than I have sons. I only got one son, and I don't know, I got like 48 daughters. I'm joking, not that much. I got three daughters, and my son's a baby, so, you know, I'm used to all that. You know, I even know what Barbies are, the collectible ones. And, you know, I know what the in-group is right now, One Direction, even though I hate them. I listen to it all the time because of my kids. But what I was getting at was it's a big weekend for MMA in SoCal. Yesterday we had Pedro Munhoz from Black House and Systems Training Center get his first win in the UFC. Today we got U of MMA going down. Looks like everybody I know is at the U of MMA fight.
I posted earlier today. I think Sunday MMA is in a great thing. I just don't think enough people enough promoters value that concept enough, because everybody floods with a Friday and a Saturday show. Let's be honest. That's where most people are going to do it. I think stepping outside that box, that traditional Friday, Saturday box, and putting on an event Thursday or a Sunday, I think is a fantastic thing. I've been to a lot of Sunday events. Traditionally, the ones up here start around 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You're home by 7, 8. You know, it's a good day. Yeah, you know. So I'm a big fan. I'm glad they did it. I just wish we could be watching.
You know, it is great. You know, like, it starts earlier. I know me on Sunday, I mean, you know, if I didn't have a show, I'd be going crazy. Nothing to do on Sunday, especially right now without football season. I'd be banging my head on the wall.
That's very true. You know, I'm definitely ready for football as well. But, you know, until that comes, let's have some Sunday MMA, folks. I mean, it's another great way to, you know, spend some time with the family, go out to these events. And they got a pretty good card tonight. I mean, I was looking it over. I was kind of impressed that, you know, between them and the Nitro card going on down in Australia right now, I was like, if I had to pick, I think I'm going with your boys.
Yeah, you know, we got to get Jay Tan on the show pretty soon. He's a great guy. I just met him a few weeks ago. You know, we've been trying to get some of my guys on his card, you know, the last couple of years. It just hasn't worked out. But I finally got to meet him face-to-face, and, you know, he's a pretty good guy. And, yeah, we got to get him on the show. Maybe hopefully we'll get him on next week to recap today's show.
So that would be killer. That would definitely be killer.
You know, and speaking of football, you know, football is my first love. And I used to think football was the hardest sport. You know, you got 200-300-pound guys running at each other full speed. Man, and once I got into MMA, football is easy compared to MMA. You know, you get these guys that they come over and they turn around and say, well, you know what, I'm a football player, this ain't nothing, I can handle it, until they get punched in the face. And you get the ones that are like, oh, I'm going back to football, or you get the other ones like, oh, yeah, I like this, let's do it.
You know, I tell you what, we talked about this a couple weeks ago about certain fighters out there who maybe train better in the gym than they fight better in a cage. And I believe sometimes you see that because once they are truly hit, it messes with their head a little bit and they can't stay focused to their game plans.
Well, it's like I say, everybody's got a game plan until they get punched in the nose.
Yeah.
I mean, me personally, I don't like getting hit in the face, so that's why I'm a manager and not a fighter.
and that's why I'm media, and I sit behind a microphone. That way I can do all my fighting with my words.
You see, I got no problem grappling. You know, my wrestling is off the hook. My jiu-jitsu is even better since I lost a leg. I don't know how that works, but gotten better. And but yeah, I mean, you know, I got power in my hands where I can knock people out. But you hit me in the nose, I just might cry.
That's how I feel. I'm like, yeah, I'm not so sure about all this getting punched in the face anymore. Maybe it's because we've gotten older. I mean, if you know, I don't know, maybe if I was still, you know, under 39, I might think different. But once you break that 40 mark, you're like, I don't need to get punched, man. It just ain't my thing anymore.
You know, that's funny that you said that, because last night I was at a friend from high school's wedding. So me and, you know, one of my boys, we used to be troublemakers and talking about the old days and getting in fights. And, you know, me up until 2 years ago, you know, bar fights were, I loved them. And I was like, man, we're too old for that. You know, I hit somebody, I knock them out, I'm going to hurt myself worse than I hit them. Throw my back out.
hey, do you know if, I know tonight's guest, Jonathan's coming on again. If I'm not mistaken, I think his Twitter was Tsunami JSM.
I believe so.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead with that one, and let's hope I'm right, because I'm tweeting it out right now. And I'll be posting it.
I know he's listening, so he'll probably text me right now what the correct one is.
Well, if that's wrong, retweet back at me. If it's right, cool. I nailed it. And, folks, you guys, make sure you get over there and check out Sunday Night Fights Live. Hit that like button, share, let all your friends know about it. Let us know if there's some fighters out there that you want to see on the show. Any sponsors interested in stepping up and supporting us in the local MMA scene that we cover, let us know. We'd be more than happy to work with you either through Sunday Night Fight Live or find you some fighters that maybe need some sponsorship or some events. You know, folks, we're open to hear from all you fans, all you fight teams. Feel free to go up onto the Facebook page and post what events you're at, what teams you fight for, what gyms you work out of. Man, if your gym's throwing a sign-up deal for maybe ladies' self-defense class, throw it up there. We'd love the fans to know about it because we are based mostly in SoCal. Anybody's welcome to post on there, but we're hoping that, you know, the SoCal scene will get in there and be a little interactive with each other and maybe open the eyes to some new gyms to some people. So feel free to use that, guys, to interact, folks. And please like, share, and subscribe. And we're 2 likes away from 300. So by the end of the show, folks, let's be over 300.
Yeah, definitely let us know. Promoters, too, you know, come on out here, you know, and let us know what's going on. And if you're looking for fighters or you know, you got a show coming up, this show is all about local MMA.
You nailed it. I like that. Promoters, Ray just said it, and it's something we do with the Madhouse Fight Finder group. It's an international group and local group both. But if you regional promoters in SoCal have a last-minute replacement, throw it up there. Let the fans, you know, share it, like it, know about it. You never know. You might get the right, you know, match from it. But let us know because then we can help you as well.
Definitely. And, you know, like, you know, we got the biggest promoters out here in SoCal listening. And, you know, they've been a guest on the show. You know, you got Mike Lowe from King of the Cage, Tony Padilla from Spar Star, Brett Roberts from Bama. You know, any other promoters out there, you know, hit me up. You know, let's get you on the show. Let's talk about your promotion. Let's get you some more fans out there watching the fights. Let's get access to other fighters that you might not have had access to before. And, you know, let's just blow this thing up.
But one thing I will ask any promoter, gym, matchmaker, fighter, whatever, when you come on the show, just be straight. Lay it out. Don't sugarcoat it or enhance it. If you're really a brown belt, don't tell me you're a black belt, because if I find out, I'm going to blast you live on the radio. Okay, I'm just saying, I had this issue on another show. We set up an interview with the gym. The coach was all hyped. We get into the interview, and I'd done my research. You know, I try to, you know, be up on what we're going to talk about, and I found out the guy never was awarded a black belt, so I asked him live on the show, and he hung up. But,
wow.
You know, I was like, look, there's no reason to lie. Look, just because you're a brown belt does not mean you're not a great coach. I can name a coach right now out of Team Quest, you know, who is a phenomenal coach, never been a pro fighter, doesn't have the highest degree belts, but he trained Chael Sonnen, Dan Henderson, Chris Lieben. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. Matt Lindland, you know, I mean, Matt Horwich. I mean, we can name names all day long. The guy's a phenomenal coach. And Scott McQuarrie out of Team Quest is a great, great coach. He doesn't need to lie about his accolades or his records. So that's one thing, folks. Come on here. Be honest, man. Nobody's going to say,
right,
well, you're, you know, blah, blah, blah. Go ahead.
All right. Before this any further, I'm going to throw it out. I'm a first-degree white belt in karate and a high school wrestler.
Bam! I am a – I'll be honest for all you folks right now. I'm a black belt in shit-talking.
That's my only belt.
That's my only belt. Okay, I might have a king of eating belt soon. I'm trying to get this belly a little bigger.
You know, funny enough, we used to have our own scoring system too when we would go out when we're all single. You know, after fights, after parties, and you know, depending on how the girl was that you ended up hooking up with, you know, you got a you know your yellow belt, your blue belt, purple belt, black belt, and you get your degrees too. So you know. We have one guy that was constantly stuck at the yellow belt. Okay, so Skipper, we got our first guest on waiting. We got the Muay Thai legend. You know him as Paco from Bloodsport, but we all know him as Cruel Paulo Tocha. Let's go ahead and get him on. Hello? Hello, Paulo. having some technical difficulties.
Ray,
all good.
I'm back.
Yes.
I'm back, and we got him, the legend. So why don't you bring him on?
The legend himself. Paulo Tocha, how are you doing today?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing, Ray?
I'm doing great. We're doing great. We're honored to have you on the show. You know, I love picking your brain and getting your knowledge. You know, for
thank
our
you.
Fans out there, you're welcome. And for your fans out there, who don't know who you are, can you go ahead and give us a quick bio on who you are?
Oh, man. I don't know what to say, man. I'm a normal human being like everybody else, and I just love what I do, and I always try to do it first, and I try to do it my way, and I try to follow the correct way to do things, and that's what I try and do, and climb up the ladder like everybody else. And
wow.
I continue to do so. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I'm a bit, you know, I don't speak about myself too much. I'm an actor. Live in L.A., Los Angeles. I work as an actor in Hollywood. I've worked at it for a long time. I love it. It's demanding. I'm also a Muay Thai trainer now. I teach Muay Thai. I try to stay real as possible, under all conditions, because for me, Muay Thai is exactly that, Muay Thai and nothing else. And so I train fighters that are ready to go further in their career, whether it's amateur or professional, and that want to compete both nationally or internationally. I prefer to take them internationally because that's where the big arenas are. Excuse me, and that's where the big game is and the big fish, and that's where you really test yourself as a fighter. And then I used to be a fighter myself, so, and I grew up in that world, not here, but there in Bangkok, so, and in Hong Kong, so, and in Asia. So for me, I like to keep it real. That's as simple as that. And in between, I do what I can, and I'm married. I'm happily married. I have a beautiful wife, and life goes on. You work, you hang on, then you work again, you train, life goes on. Does that kind of answer you a little bit or not really?
Oh, that answered my question.
Well, I would like to jump in, Ray, real quick. Knowing that the sport that you're involved in, it's a passion of mine. It's my favorite sport in the world. I'm curious how you see the growth in America for Muay Thai today.
I think it's a phenomenal growth, and we're starting to climb towards the peaks now. And in the near future, I believe striking, Muay Thai striking, will be the ultimate sport. MMA will eventually be, it already is. MMA has already changed its setup, especially when they try and sell television. You know, they need striking. They just need it. Yeah, it's exciting for the sport. Everybody wants to see striking, stand-up striking. It's it's a beautiful art. It's tough to be standing on your toes, on your feet, and trade blows and see who's the strongest man standing. It requires a lot of strength and a lot of technique and a lot of mental ability to stand on the spot and trade. And I find it's growing. I find in the United States it's really growing. Throughout the world, it's been growing. And the World Muay Thai Council now, which I'm the vice president, America, has 172 countries competing internationally amongst each other. That's awesome, man. You know, when you think about it, 176 countries, you can meet people from all over the world, and they're all doing Muay Thai and fighting, and they all follow the same rule, you know, international rules set up by Bangkok, which satisfy everybody, except California. Or except parts of our beautiful country, which is a bummer because they don't want to go by the real rules. They want to modify the rules to suit their needs. And, but then that's another story. But I think it's growing. I think it's really, really growing. I think mixed martial arts, and especially the UFC, have done a tremendous job in, even though at first they tried to deny it, but now it's open that Muay Thai is supreme in the stand-up world. And no matter who you are in mixed martial arts or in the UFC or wherever, if you want to stand up and fight and learn how to fight correctly. For the most part, throughout the world, whether it's for the ring or for military or police or for self-defense, people turn to Muay Thai. You know, that's why I think Muay Thai is the ultimate, because in the stand-up world, they control. And then, you know, there's the other sports as well, which help mix martial arts, of course.
You know, Paulo, you said you were talking about California. Let's talk about
that
for a minute.
Yeah, I mean Los Angeles. Yeah.
You know, here in California, just recently, if you hold a Muay Thai event, CSAC has deemed it necessary for the International Karate Federation to oversee Muay Thai. You know, they're not Muay Thai people. What are your feelings on that?
Well, there's a couple of ways of looking at that. If they can do a better job than the actual Muay Thai organizations that already exist and have implemented rules and regulations and events for the past 10 years, if they can do that, why not? But when I look at it from my angle, why would you like somebody to regulate, for example, Formula One racing, and they belong to the go-kart commission or rally driving? It's a different sport. Kickboxing has got different rules to Muay Thai. Muay Thai is much more aggressive, much more dangerous, and so a lot of people try to modify the rules to suit their needs and so make it into kickboxing events. I think if you have an organization that says you are a karate organization, you should stick to karate. That's what I would call a true martial artist, one who sticks by what he believes in and what he represents. So I think if you don't represent an art and you pursue it like you do represent it, then all you want is publicity or economic value to it, whatever it may be, or ego, I think good for you, you know, but karma will come, because that's not being a true... And if you talk about martial arts, that's really wrong, you know. It's like, how dare... For example, imagine Taekwondo being controlled by the Kung Fu Association. It just doesn't even make sense, you know. If you've got 2 cents worth, it doesn't even make sense. It's a joke. But these are the politics, unfortunate politics that exist. So let it be. If they can do a good job, let's see what happens. But it's nothing against them personally. But I feel we've got a lot of Muay Thai organizations in this country that have been working with Muay Thai for a long time. The United States Muay Thai Association, one of them. TBA, another one. There's various. And then there's also, of course, the ultimate and the most powerful and the strongest and the one that the whole world is associated with, which is the World Muay Thai Council. And why not follow the rules that everybody follows, so that if we fight the French or the Dutch or the Brazilians or the Thais, we fight them in the same rules and regulations. We know what we're doing. Things don't change. Everything is perfect, just like in every other sport. And we start winning for a change and putting in work, because if we want to, we can do it. In this country, we can take Muay Thai to the limit. And we've got enough people in this country to create a strong viewership and a mass audience. It's no longer just a cult sport, you know. It's mainstream now. It's becoming huge. And I think if we work hard at it and we really train hard and let go of the ego, we might end up with some great champions, Muay Thai champions, in the rings of Bangkok, which for me is the ideal situation, you know, to have American fighters champions in Bangkok. For me, that would make me so proud.
Hey, so, you know, I got to say, I 100% agree with what you're saying. All the way to the very end, I would love to see some fighters in the stadiums over there representing this country and their class of Muay Thai. With your, I guess, heart, passion, and thought that you just spoke with, do you feel that today these guys that are throwing these mixed cards where they just throw on Muay Thai fights or quote-unquote Muay Thai fights because they can't either get blood work or licensed in time or whatever the issue may be, where they do not perform a wide crew, do you feel that's kind of disrespectful to the sport?
Yes. It's not that I'm old school, man. It's Muay Thai. It's not nothing else. If you want to create something else, go do something else. But if you want to follow the sport that's been created in about 2,000 years ago. It started as a fighting art, and since 1932 has been classified as a sport, and the Olympic Committee has accepted Thailand into its organization as a boxing country, means they will send amateur boxers to Thailand. If that's all been accepted, all done since 1932, if the whole world recognizes Thai boxing, Muay Thai, as one with rules and regulations set forth in Bangkok and directed by the World Muay Thai Council, the highest authority representing the Kingdom of Thailand, authorized by the King of Thailand. Why not follow the rule, you know? I mean, everybody follows golf the same rules. Everybody follows boxing the same rules. Everybody except Muay Thai. Muay Thai, it's a banana republic here. Everybody's got their 2 cents worth. Everybody wants to be a champion. Everybody wants a medal. It's all bullshit. We're losing instead of winning. Yeah, we're growing, but we're not doing really so well, you know. The technique is very poor right now. We've been better with technique when we had more Thai American fighters fighting. We've lost a lot. Let's see what happens. You know, I'm positive. I want the sport to grow, so I'll try to keep it as real as possible. But I feel we must follow the rules. And the question to your past question a second ago about whether it was the Kickboxing Federation or the Karate Federation or whichever federation it might be. I look at it like this. If you go to get something and they sell you something else, that's fraud. You know, yep. In my way of looking at it, you know, if a guy tells me he did something to my car, this and that, and he didn't do it, and he's not a mechanic, and it's all bull, you know what I mean? So we should have standards, you know. And actually, the people who represent these organizations should have enough, self-worth to realize that, whoa, wait a minute. I'm not savvy in this sport as I would like to be. Why don't I call in the professionals? Why don't I help or people who do know to help me in this and establish something nice? I think it should be done that way. You know, if you don't know what you're doing, ask for help. Don't try to destroy everything else. You know, just ask for help. There's a lot of people that can help. You know, so
exactly. And the last event that we did, that I did as a manager, which was IFS, you know, I believe it's a great organization, but, you know, their hands were tied. They had to use the International Karate Federation, and it was, for lack of a better word, and you can go ahead and bleep me right now, it was a clusterfuck. It was
really?
It was horrible. They didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah, you know. It's sad, you know, because I'll tell you why it's sad. Because at the end of the day, the referee's job, really, really, when you study Muay Thai, and you dedicate your life to Muay Thai, and you accept it into the World Muay Thai Council, and you ref for the World Muay Thai Council internationally. Never mind nationally, but internationally, you know, in front of a huge world audience. And you have to be impartial. And your duty is really, the bottom line, is to safeguard the two fighters, red corner or blue corner. When I ref, I'm a judge referee for the World Muay Thai Council. I was the first American to be in. Even I'm a ref for the WBC, for the USMTA, et cetera, et cetera. But I've done it all. But the most important thing is for you to protect the fighters. And if you don't know the moves, and if you don't know the style, if you don't know the technique, if you don't know the timing, if you don't know the balance, if you don't know the judging, the scoring correctly, it's difficult, and you can have a mess up. It's not, I mean, these guys don't go there to do a bad job. I don't believe that. No way. A lot of people like to criticize the refs and the judges because it's like a free-for-all outside. You know, you pay your 5 cents and you drink a beer and you talk shit. But the bottom line is a really tough job, really dedicated, difficult job to do, to judge and to ref. You have to be really on par with what's going on. You have to be alert. You have to be focused. And you have to really care for those two guys or two girls in the ring. Because their life is at stake. A mistake can cost and can cause it. It's a very serious situation, you know. So the more prepared those refs are, the better it is. So I think what they should do, I think we're going to do this maybe in October, we're bringing in Master Tanong from Bangkok, who's the head of he's the uncorruptible referee for Lumpini Stadium in Bangkok for the last 3 years, and he's also the head of Rules and Regulations Committee for the World Muay Thai Council. And he will come over here and maybe to Vegas and New York and give seminars, a seminar in each city, on rules and regulations so that everybody can be on par and understand what everybody looks for when they fight. Because a lot of times it's not the guys who join these organizations. They are told, go referee, go do this, and they really don't know. They wish they did. For the most part, they wish they did. There's a few egos that like to think they know it all and they don't know jack shit. But for the most part, people are interested in knowing more about the art, you know. So I think it's only fair that they educate themselves. And I also think it's only fair that they educate themselves before they go and referee my fighters.
Definitely. And you know, speaking of your fighters, who are some of these guys that we need to watch out for that are coming up through the ranks? You know, I know you work with Chris Cully. He's a beast.
We love Chris.
Joe Davidson fighting next weekend at Pechanga Casino for WCK Promotions. It's going to be a really good show. And Joe Davidson, he fights for my team, Tasha Sartoni-Kun. And he's ready this time. He's really ready. He's the team captain, and he's representing the USA against China. It's going to be a war. We're going into war. We've made up our minds. So whatever happens, happens. But we're going it up. So let's see what happens. My whole attention is on him right now. I love him. I want him to win. I want him to be focused and relaxed. He's looking fantastic, super strong, fantastic. Everything's good right now. So I don't want to jinx anything. For us, it's a big thing because we're fighting China. And you know, it's difficult to fight China. If we fight them in China, chances are we lose, because in China, you only win by knockout or by a decisive victory of 3 rounds or 5 rounds, because the Chinese don't like to lose. So the chances of you winning in China are slim. And I fought there before, so I know. So we know that they're coming here, so obviously they're representing their country. They're coming to the United States. They're coming in strong. You know, this is a rematch, so bring it on. This is our home, and we're ready, and we're going to represent. Exactly. And if you want to see a good show, come down on the Pechanga Casino on the 7th, next Saturday night. I think there's some really good bouts. Jemiah is also very good, this beautiful young girl, brought up in Holland, but from Suriname. She's an incredible boxer. She's fighting for the title. I think she holds the title. She holds one of the WBC titles. And
definitely got to check.
She really represents.
Out.
Yeah, it's quite a good thing.
You know, you talk about your spot in China, and you know, just recently in Thailand, they closed down Lumpini Stadium. Tell us what that stadium meant to you.
Oh, it's such a bummer. It's for me, it was a way of, man, it's not that it's a place of worship or anything, you know, but it had a beautiful soul. This place, yep. This place, when you walked in, you felt it. You felt the energy. I've been all over that stadium, so you felt this special energy. And if you like the sport, the amount of fights that were held in that stadium, the bloodshed, you know, the technique, the heart, the love for the sport, it was sad to see it go and being destroyed. They should have kept it as a national monument. Because
I agree.
It would have made a lot of money. As a museum, it would have made a lot of money. But it's going to be a shopping center instead, and it's been leveled to the ground. And there's a new Lumpini Stadium, which I also went to, the new one. I was invited to the closing of the last one, the closing ceremonies of the last one, and then I was invited to the opening as well of the new one while I was there. I was there visiting at the friend's request to come see a camp in Koh Phangan, a beautiful camp, most probably the most beautiful camp I've seen in Thailand. It's in Koh Phangan. It's at Kong's Paradise, and you can speak to Ku Kong, and it's an incredible Muay Thai camp. So beautiful, it's difficult to describe. On top of a mountain with like the Amazon. Imagine looking at the Amazon and having the ocean in front of you and all open air and just beautiful, incredibly good energy. That's a nice camp. And I was there, and then all this came through, and I was invited to go, and I went back to Bangkok and saw the whole ceremonies, and it's sad to see one place go. It's great to see the other place, the new stadium, but it's not the same. It's very bright. It's different. It's just different. Great fighters, the same fighters, beautiful, but not the same.
With
like
you,
they say in Thailand. Sorry, like they say in Thailand, same, same, but different. And that's what it's really like.
You going to the closing, now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I might be, but wasn't that during that last event there for the King's birthday as well?
Say that again?
the last event at the stadium that you went to, was that not during the King's birthday?
No, the King's birthday is December 5th.
Okay.
Usually the World Muay Thai Council holds the King's birthday celebrations, and the International Federation of Amateur Muay Thai and the Pro Federation, which is the World Muay Thai Council, which controls the foreign, it's the highest representative body of the Kingdom of Thailand. So they, on December 5th, they usually have the World Muay Thai Council throws an incredible show. Throughout the years, great champions were made out of those shows. Lately, the shows have changed completely. They lost their format. They're nothing, really. I don't even think they are having them now because of all the problems that they've had in the past year. But it's a good show to fight in. And, you know, foreigners, there's different levels, you know. In Thailand, there's different levels for foreigners to fight in. There's A level, B level, C level. And the King's Birth is a great show. I was fortunate enough to train the first American to win the King's Birthday Championship in Thailand. I was the trainer and part of the first team, Tosha Sotonikun, with Chris. We won. It was a great experience. There was another American team there, but they lost, and we won. So we won by knockout. So another notch for the for the record.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the thing is, people don't realize this. A lot of people don't talk about this, and there's a lot of haters and jealousy nowadays, and Muay Thai never used to be like this, never before. You know, people were down with Muay Thai because it was like a cult sport, and everybody loved the action, you know, and everybody respected the Thais because they know that Thailand is the motherland, you know, and Bangkok, the fatherland, the mecca of Muay Thai, and everybody respects that. Everybody knows the Thai system of fighting, Muay Thai, is the best by far, you know, and everybody wants to be part of that, you know. And now you've got a lot of guys, and not really overseas because they travel more and they know what's up, but over here especially, talking about like they're big champions and then they act like they're hot shots and because they're champions, yeah, you know, locally, internationally, but they don't fight internationally. That's not a world champion, you know. That's a local champion. There's a difference, and they call world champions for everything, you know. You have one fight, they want to give a belt, they give a belt, it's a world championship, they call it the world championship belt. Now you've got a belt. You had one fight, now you won, you've got a belt. Come on, that's not really, you know, you can't compare that, as beautiful as it is, that moment of you winning that belt, you can't compare that to Lumpini Stadium winning a championship title and having the Lumpini belt, you know, in Bangkok. Two different worlds, you know. But the ego of these dudes over here, especially, and some girls, not only here, all over the world, they think they're the same. Well, they're not. I've got news for you. In my way of thinking, and the majority of the people that know Muay Thai, they're not. You know, you see, Muay Thai, a lot of intelligent people follow Muay Thai. It's not what people think. This is a sport of kings. Just, you know, we've lost in Thailand now to soccer, you know, to British soccer, to English soccer, because of the gambling. But otherwise, we'd still be the number one gambling sport. And unfortunately, the gambling also spoiled the sport quite a bit. But there's a lot of money involved in this. And the people who watch the sport and have been watching the sport, they come from all lifestyles, you know, and they know the sport, you know what I mean? They know the rules. They want to know more. And over here, you've got a lot of guys with ego thinking they know everything, and it's unfortunate. They need to learn, man. We need to let go and learn and just like be like everybody else, compete and be thankful for what we've got and be the best we can be. And if we follow that and we work hard, we can have the best champions, man. You know, we can do it here. We've always done it. Everything's possible in the United States. We've got boxers. We've got the best everything. We can have the best Muay Thai fighters also. It's just a matter of really having some respect, you know. We've got great champions. I don't know if you guys realize, we've got some really great champions, Thai champions living in the United States. We've got some really good people, you know, that know the sport. They've spent 30 years in the sport, 40 years, you know. They've paid their dues, you know. It's time for them to also reap a little bit of the rewards, you know. A lot of the teams that came from Brazil reaped the rewards, saying they knew Muay Thai. Well, not really. That wasn't Muay Thai, you know. Now people are saying, oh, yeah, now we know, you know, that wasn't Muay Thai. Well, you know what I mean? Like, stand up, represent.
Oh, definitely.
You know what
definitely.
I mean? Represent. Follow the rules. I think in Muay Thai, they should fight with Muay Thai shorts.
I agree.
They should do that. You know, if they play another sport, do whatever they want. You know, it doesn't matter, you know. It's a great, there's many different things that you can use, you know. But I think in Muay Thai, you should use Muay Thai shorts. And you know, the funny thing is, I think that every guy who represents Muay Thai, deep inside his heart, he feels just like I felt when I was young and when I was fighting and when I started. He wants to represent, man. All he wants to do is to do better and to show that he's got heart. That's really what Muay Thai starts off at. And you know, it's only fair that we give our youth the best ability for them to succeed and teach them the best way. Our youth is the future here. This is also the future of Muay Thai. So if we don't teach them right, how can they do well later on? We've got to teach them the basics correct, you know, and correctly. So I feel that this is it's a very important subject matter, you know, because we need to stand up for our sport, you know, and take control of our sport, which is not happening right now. But
yeah, that's,
the sport
that's
is growing.
True.
Nevertheless, the sport is growing because of mixed martial arts helping it.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And, you know, Paulo, we need to have you on again when we have more time. I mean, there's just so much that we haven't covered and that we want to cover. We definitely have to have you on again real soon. I want to thank you for coming on. Right now is your time if you want to go out and shout out anybody you're working with, and anybody you want to shout out, go ahead and take your time now to go ahead and shout them out.
I'd like to thank you for the time. I appreciate it. I'd like to give a shout-out to all the people who love Muay Thai, who've got heart and represent and stand up and do what's got to be done and do it right. And those who try, that's who I'd like to give a shout-out to all those who love my sport and love the way we do our thing. That's it. I love everybody, and I hope everybody loves me. I've got a massive amount of love for all the sports people who enjoy our sport, and just like I enjoy watching their sport. So I hope they follow our sport the correct way, and hopefully we can have some big champions. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Paulo. And I mean, and not just for today. Thank you for everything. I mean, all the knowledge you've bestowed on me in the past, and thank you for working with my fighters like Isaac Velasco, Kim Lee, Therion Ware. You know, I just want to thank
Therion's
you for
incredible.
For me
Therion's
and them.
Got Therion's got mad skills. He's great. Therion's going to be a big champion. Wait, when the eventually the UFC will sign him, or most probably Bellator. But Therion's got mad skills, and he's been putting them, and he's done it, and it's just a matter of time. He's incredible. He's going to be great. He's an up and coming big champion. Yeah, that's
another one.
But there's so many. There's fighters all over. You know, there's lady fighters. There's the sport's growing, and it's great to see it growing, and let's keep it growing. You know, let's feed the
definitely.
The right food so it grows fast.
Definitely.
We need cash for the sport. The fighters need to get paid. The fighters need to get paid. We need to make a living, brother. That's the bottom line. We're breaking our bones. Our bodies are all messed up inside. People are getting hurt. We need to get paid. Everybody needs to get paid. There's enough money out there.
Exactly. And we want to thank you for coming on. Definitely we want to have you on again. And thank you, and you have a good night.
Yeah, please. Thank you very much. Good night.
You're welcome.
I'm going to just say this. That was like the best Christmas/Hanukkah gift I could get this year. I definitely need more time with Paulo. I mean, this guy, this is...
I think we need to dedicate a whole show to Paulo.
We do. We got to just do... Let's just... Maybe in the next few weeks, we'll do a whole show about Muay Thai, because his insight and honestly, the way he addresses how he feels about the sport, it is similar in so much... in so many ways with me. That's how I look at the sport, as somebody growing up. I mean, we didn't get to talk to him about Buffalo Girls. We didn't get to talk to him about the prison fight system to get out of prison. We didn't get to talk to him about, you know, all the good and bad things going on that I would love to get his opinion on. So we got to definitely do another show with him.
Definitely,
I mean, he's
definitely.
A legend.
And, you know, I feel lucky because, okay, you know, he was kicking down knowledge to us right now on the show. But when we're in person, I mean, he's very charismatic. You know, I ask him a question, and he's just boom, 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 telling you how it is, and I'm just absorbing that knowledge. I mean, it's great.
Oh yeah. You know, talking, you know, about, I guess, the lack of discipline and the true teachings, like what he was taught as a traditional, like the footwork, the technique, understanding the ring and cutting it off. I mean, he touched on it. It's sloppy right now in general. And I would love to be able to talk with him some more and find out, how do we fix this? How do we get that technique and that pride back in the technique that is seems to be fading away because of mixed martial arts is only taking what they want from that art form?
Yeah, definitely. I would agree with that 100%.
Well, I know we could keep talking about this gentleman and everything, but we have our next guest in queue. Are you ready for him?
Oh, we got the tsunami in the house. Jonathan Santa Maria. How you doing, brother?
What's going on, fellas? Good to be on again. How's it going?
Great, great. You know, you are our first repeat guest.
That's awesome, man. After a legend talking like that, that's pretty cool, man. It's actually exciting, dude.
Well, actually, you've been associated with the – you've been on the show 3 times.
Yeah,
I won. Yeah, that's right. I won something.
Exactly.
You are our first ever ticket winner and our first ever repeat guest. I'd like to say, you know, first of all, welcome back. You're now family. So how's it been for all the fans out there who listen?
Hey, you know, it's pretty cool, man, listening to you guys, checking out your show, and then actually being on the show and – you know, promoting my last fight, which I won in a minute, 18-second knockout, and, you know, looking forward to all these events. You know, I just got signed with Zions, which is huge for me, and just everything, man. It's been a cool road, a great road, and I feel awesome to be able to just talk about it with you guys, too.
Oh, you know what? You got to kick me down with some of that no-carb Zions. I love that stuff. I can't find it anywhere.
Well, that's what I'm here to talk about tonight, fellas. So pretty much, man, what's going on is I have this event called the Train to Care Summer H2O Drive. Before I was even a pro fighter, when I just had my camp, you know, I always like to give back. And I usually do, it's called Train to Care Toy Drives. I raise toys for the homeless and, you know, give them out. I did one last year. And what I thought about, you know, this year was people – in general, usually give out only during the holidays. What about now? You know, it's hot. I mean, you guys can – I know you guys felt the heat wave just a few weeks back, and the heat wave is also coming back now. So, you know, what about now? What about the homeless that can't even get regular drinking water? You know, and for us, just regular people trying to get drinking water sometimes, you know, it's not easy. So basically what I'm doing here is I came up with a great idea, and I got a lot of people involved, and you know, we're going to be doing anyone who likes MMA, who is a fan, who is a fighter, who is a promoter, just anybody in general that likes MMA is going to get involved with this. And we're going to be at the UFC gym in Rosny this Saturday, June 7th. It's going to be from 11:30 to 1:30. Like I said, it's called the Train to Care Summer H2O Drive. Anyone that brings any type of bottled water, whether it's a case, whether it's one bottle, whatever they can bring, they're going to be able to train and learn. Some of the pro fighters that I have there are specific favorite moves that we use in the octagon today. Some of the pro fighters that will be there, I can name off some names just off my head right now. We got Mike Segura, also a teammate of mine from Rain. Kylan Coran, she fights overseas. She's an awesome fighter. We have big carry-on Flash Ware, you know, making his move. He'll be there. And we're just going to have much more. I'll be teaching. I'll be starting off the whole event teaching some good karate blitz moves to takedowns. Mark Munoz's awesome takedown moves. And so anyone that brings water can join in. I'm going to give out Zion swag. As I said, Zion's sponsor will be having Zion drinks. I'll be giving out Kiddo's kettle corn. Hey, Ray, you still want some kettle corn?
Oh, yeah. I can't wait, man.
I'm going to be giving out Zion's drinks, Zion swag, tsunami bracelets. So I call it the Power to Win bracelet. I'm going to give those out. I actually have some pretty cool stuff. American Medical Response is an ambulance company. They already pledged to donate 2 sets of 10 cases of water. So 20 cases of water, Explode Fight Series, 10 cases of water, SoCal Rounds Booster Club, 10 cases of water, and Motive B-Roll, it's a car company. They're also pledging 10 cases of water. So
man,
we're already yeah, we're already up over, you know, a good 1,000 bottles of water that we're going to be dishing out.
This is, I got to say, this is really spectacular to hear that, you know, you stepping up to do this. Paulo mentioned it earlier, egos in the sport, in the Muay Thai world. We see them in the MMA world as well. And once again, you seem like to be a humble fighter and trying to support the sport that supports you. You know, I mean, right now we're getting messages from fans all over the country who think what you're doing is amazing. I've got to second that notion. This is a great thing to hear when you could be like, training right now is more important than helping anybody because it's about me and you're not. So big props to you. We're going to tweet this out. If you got a press release, get it to me. Let me get it up on MMAMadhouse.com and get it shared all over the world for you.
That would be awesome. Yeah, you know, it's just, it just comes to me. You know, I am blessed to actually be back. You guys know my whole story, and I just feel like as I'm growing as a fighter, I have to remember where I came from, you know, and I came from, you know, the rough roads coming from, you know, just having my mom and doing stuff. So it's like if I can give back, which I can right now through the sport, which I love teaching, I love fighting, and if I can do that, if I can unite promoters, fighters, fans, average Joes, if we can all unite, you know, I'm one person and we can all be, you know, hundreds of us there and we can all raise a whole bunch of water. We can take it down to these people through, you know, the sport that we love, teaching something, learning something. Anyone, I mean, anybody that goes, they can even just go to watch. They can bring water and watch and hang out. I have a production company that's going to be there. Eximius Productions will be there, you know, shooting the event, getting, you know, some cool pictures for everybody. I'm actually going to have, this is pretty cool, I have they're going to be called the Tsunami Girls. I have some cool models. I have some cool models coming in. You know, they're taking time. It's free to them. They're not charging me. They think it's a great thing, too. And they're going to be handing out Zion's drinks to, you know, to everybody and, you know, getting them different flavors, different tastes. And, you know, it's just, it's cool that we're all coming together under the MMA flag, you know, and there's no big heads like, oh, I'm too good for this, I'm too good for that. No, everyone's there, you know, to support MMA, to support, you know, giving back to the community and not just being about themselves, you know?
Okay, I'm not going to lie. I did demand payment. I said, I need Kittle Horn, and I'll be there.
Ray, I'm not going to lie. I already told my sponsor, I said, hey, man, I need a box just for this one specific guy. He called it out on the air. I need a box for this guy. So I got you, man. But this event's huge, man. We're going to be in the Octagon at the UFC gym. Even if you're a fighter who's never fought in the Octagon, you know, and you get to be in there and that, you know, that door is going to close, you're going to feel awesome and you're going to learn some, you know, Tarion moves, some of my moves, some of, you know, this guy Night Knight's moves. Like, we're going to have a great system that day. We're going to teach our specific favorite move. And this is something that you're not going to get anywhere where all these fighters are just going to unite together, you know, like I said, no big heads and just help out. And while someone else is teaching their specific move, hey, I'm going to learn it and I'm going to dig it. You know, as a fighter, you never let go of anything. You don't just say, ah, that move won't work for me. No. You use what you can that can work for you and adjust to it, you know? So.
Go ahead, Skip.
Go ahead, Ray. I was just going to say, I think this is a really cool concept, especially for younger amateurs and out there who, you know, want to, you know, try something new, learn something new, maybe try working with a different group of fighters to just enhance their game. And for you guys to open up, and let's be honest, what's not some secret, you know, fighting style that's never been seen in public, but for you guys to teach what you know and do this, you know, so openly at the same time as helping the community, I think this is great for young fighters. They should take this opportunity. I mean, the difference is that you can teach, you know, it's no disrespect to their coaches and their teammates, but it's a different view. So I think this is great.
Yeah, I think the same way, and also just, you know, just for you, for the younger fighters out there, I have some cool guys coming in, local, you know, promoters that are going to help out. We got J-10 from the U of MMA that's going to come out, and he'll be, you know, willing to take any questions that any amateur up-and-coming fighters have. He's going to be there. I also have Tony Padilla, Sparstar Promotions. He's going to be there. So any amateurs that, you know, that don't want to just learn, that they actually want to have a conversation and see, hey, how do I get to that next level? What do I need to do? What, you know, they can talk to us pros. They can talk to these promoters. It literally, like, this event, I'm thanking everybody for coming out and, you know, just helping out. And like you said, not just being about ourselves, but uniting as one and giving back under that MMA flag, you know?
Yep. I love
Definitely,
it.
It's a great cause. And just 1 minute, Skip. Keep that thought. I just, before time gets away from us, and just something completely off the subject, I just want to let Jonathan know, Randy Romero is back.
Yeah. Is he
fighting in October?
I'll be there, man. You know what? You know what? Let me just touch base on Randy real quick, man. Randy Romero was one of my first Destiny fighters when I had my Destiny camp, and you know, I got this kid, and I'm going to use the word, man. He was a knucklehead when I got him. I put this, and my thing, like I told you, I'm a karate fighter. I'm a very disciplined fighter. So when I got this kid, I didn't like his, you know, the way he spoke. I didn't like certain things, so I would put him on a bag. I did old school style, actually. I'd put him on a bag while everyone's learning, and, you know, go punch the bag. And he would say, he'd come in every day, how many? I didn't say how many, go punch the bag, right? And then, you know, a week goes by. After that week, I say, go punch the bag. There was no questions. There was no questions. He went and hit the bag for a whole class. And that's where the discipline started coming in, where it's whatever I said goes. And then he would work towards that. We would unite together, mind and mind. And his mindset now, he's a very respectful kid. He, you know, he speaks very well. I think highly of the... He's not even a kid, you know, of that man, you know, and he's going to do great things. I mean, his record doesn't show what he's capable of right now, you know, and I told him that when he turned. He's a great fighter,
doesn't.
And he has a lot to give, and he's at, you know, I believe he's at Millennia right now.
Yeah,
and those guys, guys are awesome. He's under Ray, takedown, right, Ray?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, he's under a great group of guys, so, yeah, I'll be there watching him, man.
Yeah, and Skip, this kid, Randy Romero, he's got a great fan base because he is the kid who needed MMA to survive. You know, he got into some trouble as a youngster. You know, he's a gangbanger, and MMA turned his life around. And, you know, he'll let you know that. This is what saved him. And that's why, you know, he's endearing to the people, because he's not a guy who came out and has been training for, you know, 15 years, and now it's chance to step in the octagon. This is a kid who needed this to save him, and he lets everyone know that this is what saved my life. This is how great this sport is, and he's just a pleasure to be around. I mean, you know, he's a great guy. You know, I love the dude like a brother, and you know, me and Jonathan, we cornered him together. Great times, and I can't wait to see him back in action.
Now, let me ask you, Jonathan, as you know, a media member who isn't from your region, so I get to meet you guys on this show and really get to know you fighters, just like the rest of the fans around the world. That's why I'm kind of, you know, the wingman. I sit in the back. But for someone like you who has this, not only a passion for the sport, but a passion for teaching, how, I guess, good does it make you feel to see a young man like this kid make that conversion from the wrong road to the right road and be somebody you're that proud of? I mean, how does that make you feel as a person away from the sport and away from coaching, but just as a man?
You know, it's the best feeling in the world. I mean, when my mom is really, she means a lot to me. And I remember when she said, I love that kid, and why he just has so much respect. And, you know, it wasn't just me who did it. It was him who found himself. Like Ray said, it was MMA that got him out, you know, and got him thinking right. And that was when I let him go, when I had to, you know, walk away from teaching for a while. That was one of the hardest things I had to do was leaving Randy. And I didn't just leave him, you know. Like I said, I took him to Millennia. You know, I believe we got Ray on the phone. And, you know, it's something that I told Randy, you know, I'd always be around, because why? He never did me wrong. He did everything I said. If I told Randy is one of the guys where if I said, hey, you know, jump off this ceiling, yes, sir, there he goes. You know, that was the way I taught, and that was the way he learned, and that was the way he's become. I can tell you right now, I've never met any of his coaches at Millennia But I can tell you he's never gave them a problem or asked them any questions. Why? Because he has respect for the sport. He has respect for who's teaching him. Even if they're teaching him the wrong way, I always taught him, you know, learn their way. If it works for you, use it. If it doesn't, then, you know, see if you can use it. But just listen to them. They're taking their time to teach you. You know, because you can't just, everyone that teaches doesn't necessarily work for you. And I told him that. And I know he's going to make it. He has the heart. He has the drive. And like I said, his record just does not show what he's capable of. And he's going to do big things as long as he keeps pursuing. And, you know, he has Ray behind him and all of us, you know.
Well, you know, his last fight against Cameron Harris, who's also part of he's not a takedown fighter, but he's still part of the family. It was a hard fight for me to watch because, you know, both guys, you know, they're good friends. But, I mean, it was probably one of the best amateur fights I've seen. You know, Randy came up short on a decision. But, I mean, depending on where you were sitting is how you scored the fight. It could have went either way. I felt it was a draw. But these two just stood in the middle of the cage and beat the crap out of each other. The fans loved it. They loved it. I mean, it was awesome.
Yeah, I think one of the best fights Randy ever did for me, it was at a Sparstar Promotions fight. I can't recall the guy's name right now, but he was taller. Randy fought at a higher weight. He never wanted to cut weight, so he fought at a higher weight. And you know what? He fought his heart out for 3 rounds. He was busted up. He was hurt. One of my words I use is ush, and I would say that, and it's naturally in his head to kick. He kicked, I mean, he hurt this guy, and he lost. I mean, the guy was just better than him, but he fought one of the best fights anyone could see. When the announcer, you know, came up to the winner and said, instead of saying, congrats on your win, how do you feel, the first thing he said was, man, is Randy Romero tough, you know, and that's how this kid is. He is tough. As he gets better and he grows, I feel great that I was one of the first guys who ever coached him. And no matter what he does, he just made me proud.
That's great, great. You know, Jonathan, we're running out of time here, so go ahead and give us some more information about the event this weekend. Takedown will be in the house. Any sponsors you want to shout out?
Just real quick, I want to shout out my big sponsor, Zions. Zions has been hooking me up. I just did a big promotional event with them in San Diego. That was awesome. So thank you, Zions, for signing me. Also, Voodoo Tactical, they're hooking me up with a whole bunch of bags when I travel, especially for my next fight, which is July 19th. So I just want to thank those guys right there. And also, real quick, man, before I go, I want to shout out to my coach, Mark Munoz, out of Rain. He took a big loss this weekend when he fought. But, you know, there's no loss to me. You know, he's a great man. He works his butt off. And, you know, I see a lot of negativity writing. And if it's, you know, it's just something where it hurts me because I know how hard he works and things happen in the cage. So, Mark, if you're listening out there, man, you know, you're the biggest inspiration that I have to this day still. Win, lose, draw, whenever, whatever you decide, I'm behind you. So, Team Munoz all the way.
Hey, well, you know, I back you on that 100%. Look, I'm not going to lie and say I watched the fight because I watched 187 other MMA and Muay Thai fights this weekend. But I hate these Zuffa zombies who are wagon jumpers. First of all, don't understand the sport, don't appreciate a great ground game or a great footwork in the cage. They just do and jump whenever Dana White says. Look, he stepped in there against arguably one of the best fighters in the world in that weight class. If you lose, are you serious? That's a bad loss? How can that be a bad loss? You just fought somebody ranked in the top 10 in the world in your weight class. Win, lose, or draw, you're an amazing competitor, a talented fighter, and you deserve to be there. So why are people harshing losses? This is what kills me. I wish we had Paulo to still ask him about that. How come it is if in Muay Thai I'm 286 and 96, I can still be considered a legend, a champion, and somebody who honors the sport? But in MMA, I'm 30-1, and I'm a washed-up has-been fighter. That makes no sense to me. Losses come with this sport. When you get to the level that you're facing the elite of the elite, you cannot win every fight.
Yeah, I agree, and you know it's something that it hurts me, man, because he should be able to go home, be like, you know what, I need to step back for a bit, not be like, oh, I'm going to quit or anything, or am I going to get fired? Is Dana White going to let me go? None of that. It should be, you know, I need to step back. I need to think about things. I need to, because he has so much he can offer to the sport still. He can get better. He can do certain things. Just like any fighter, if they really want it, they can. You know, but like you said, if you lose one, if you lose two, oh, you're done now. No, he can still, even if it's not in the top 10, he can still build off of some other fighters and keep going and get back to that high level again, you know, if he wants to. But like you said, nowadays you lose one fight and, okay, he's washed up. It's ridiculous.
It is. I mean, I watched, you know, some legends this weekend in kickboxing, you know, fight. And Badahari is a great fighter, but he has lost. Daniel Geese has lost. Tyrone Spong has lost. I mean, these are legends. These are up, you know, up their upper echelon fighters. Fedor lost. You know, Nogs lost. I mean, you could go through the list to me in MMA of great fighters, and they've all lost. It, to me, does not diminish in any way the respect I have for them as a fighter and the talent that they put into that ring or cage, you know, for the fans. That's my only problem with the Zuffa zombies today, that, you know, Paulo touched on it earlier, you know, the sloppiness of some American Thai fighting, okay? Well, it's the sloppiness of the mentality of the American MMA fan that is a Zuffa zombie. A good portion of them don't understand that someone like yourself, you know, you train with elite athletes, you train with elite fighters, and whether you win them all or lose them all, you know, it doesn't say anything about who you are as a person or a fighter. It's what you did all the way up to the day that you got that victory or loss. Did you show up? Did you make weight? Were you a professional? Did you respect it? Did you put your talent and heart and leave it all in there? Did you listen to your coaches? It's a big picture. It's not as simple as a piece of paper saying L or W. It's not.
Yeah, I totally agree, man. So, I mean, it's just, you know, he's just, like I said, he's the biggest inspiration I've had, and he's one of the, you know, the best guys I've ever met. And, you know, so, coach, you listen out there, like I said, man, you know, keep your head up, and, you know, we train to rain every day, so can't wait for practice tomorrow. And real quick, guys, before I go, I know I got to get out of here, but any pro fighters out there that want to get on this Train to Care event this Saturday, contact Ray, contact me. We'd love to have you there. I can, you know, blast you on the event page. So hit me up on Facebook or wherever you guys like, and let's get this Train to Care event Saturday, and let's do it for us.
All right, thanks a lot for coming on, Jonathan. I'll see you out there Saturday. We'll definitely get you on again before your next fight to hype it up. And I want to thank you for coming on, and good night. Talk to you soon.
All right, guys, take it easy.
That was awesome, you know, giving back to the community. You know, it's what we do. You know, we've all been in dire straits here in the fight business, so, you know, we know how it is and where we came from, and that's one thing that we never forget. And I'm looking forward to just giving back to the community, you know.
And by the way, folks, I want everyone to know that I'm going to get with Jonathan as soon as I'm done with the show tonight. I'm going to get a copy of the press release, either from Zients or from him. We're going to get it up on MMAMadhouse.com. We're going to share it everywhere. If anybody that's in driving distance, you know, try to get up there and support this. This is a phenomenal thing to do for the community, and it brings fighters together, coaches together. It's a great thing. So I'm very honored he came on the show to talk about it.
You know, right now we got the man himself. We got he's the general behind the Lisbo army. You know, I've gone against him before last summer in a camo event. The dude is just a genius. I'm so happy we got him on. We got Manolo El Huracan on the line. What's up, Manolo? How you doing?
Doing good, brother. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, we can hear you. You know, for our fans who don't know who you are, give them a quick explanation as to who you are.
Manolo Hernandez. Been training guys in MMA since 1995. I worked for a little team called the Lion's Den at one point. And Shamrock, Oni Galindo, Pete Williams, Vernon White, all those guys here in our San Diego camp. And then now I work at a place called Annual Combat Academy, where I train the likes of Liz Carmouche, YL, the Gazelle Watson, Richie Martinez, the Boogeyman, Mike De La Torre, Alex Soto Extremo from Tijuana. A lot of good guys in our camp.
I mean,
and girls.
You guys got an excellent camp over there. I mean, those they're all beasts that you mentioned. I mean, I'm at a loss for words here. I mean, I've gone against you guys before. Last summer we went at the San Diego County Fair. And
That shit was crazy.
You know, yeah, it was.
It was insane.
Yeah.
Are you gonna? Yeah, the promoter asked me. He's like, I think it's ready. You know, we mopped it down with some ice water. So I go, cool, man. Just go ahead and take your shirt off and lay down there, and then I put my guy in there.
Yeah, my
he
guy
goes,
got
you know,
blisters.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, he wasn't trying to do it. So I go, well, when you're willing to do it, I'll put my guy in there.
Yeah. Like you said, you know, you got Liz Carmouche in your camp.
Yeah.
I think she gave Rhonda the most trouble out of anybody, the best one-round fight I've ever seen. I see her coming back and beating Rhonda. I don't see it going any other way. And, you know, what are your feelings about that fight?
We took that fight to be a part of history, to ensure our place in the UFC, and, you know what I mean, to, like I said, of course, to make history, but, you know, to set up a lot of other fights and, you know, more than that, like, create a lasting legacy for Liz.
Now, speaking of Liz, you know, the last fight, you know, a lot of us thought she was robbed. You know, what are your feelings on that?
100%, man. I think it was bullshit. I mean, I think the judges in Florida are in love with Tate. You know, I know she spent a extensive amount of time there growing up. You know, whatever. But fucking ever. You know? I feel like Liz won. I think she won the first two rounds. I mean, we'll give that, you know what I mean? Of course, Tate won that last round, but one round alone is not going to win you a fight. Three rounds, you know? You know, we
exactly.
dominated her every... You know, we controlled where that fight was fought. And, you know, it's exactly... I talked to her coach, Robert Polis, afterwards. I go, tell me that you did not expect what we did to you, right? He goes, no, we're trying to do that to you. And you beat us to it. Yeah.
Now, Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. There's a little lag time here between us.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I was saying, you know, as a trainer, as a top-level trainer, when a fighter comes to you and say they want to fight, what are you looking for, and what do you tell them?
Fighters nowadays, you know, there's a lot of tough guys, right? They got a saying in Brazil that I got tough guys falling out of trees, you know? Here in San Diego, this to me is like, now is like the Mecca for mixed martial arts. You know what I mean? There's 80 schools here in San Diego. 80.
Wow.
So, I mean, like, and then like all the big gyms that are here in town along with us, every single one of those guys has like UFC guys. They have guys that were on the Ultimate Fighter. So when a guy comes to me and he says, yeah, you know, I want to do this. I want to, my hope is to get into like a high level MMA show. To get to the UFC, you know, the first thing I look for is hard work. I mean, any asshole can get in the cage. You know, I've seen guys with no training get in the cage. But I mean, the real hard work is done in that offseason, that getting ready for it, that the other 6 days of the week, you know?
So let me ask you, you mentioned a little bit about some of the other gyms and the clout behind them. You know, obviously you as well as I, being in the media, we've seen, you know, belts be bought. You know, we've seen promoters who are gym owners who, you know, stack fights, you know. So you get these guys or girls who might come into your gym with maybe a little bit of ego tripping because of where they've been previous. How difficult is that for you to deal with, or is it something you can squash right away and say either go on or it's my way?
Well, it's my way or the highway, you know. We have a lot of people come from other places, and, you know, I mean, that's the kind of things you have to put your foot down early with these guys. The majority of the people we have, they started from scratch with us. You know, their MMA career, no matter where they did their jiu-jitsu or whatever, like their MMA started with us. So it's it's easy to make that transition, you know what I mean, from amateur pro and, like, kind of guide them with the attitude and everything. And we have the kind of players in our 11 o'clock practice that'll, like, kind of smash you down right away if you get too big for your boots.
Cool. You know, the fighters you have seem to be obviously very, very talented, and obviously there's a few that are some of the elite in their weight class in the world between your males and females. You have a young amateur who comes in. How many times do you see a guy who's maybe, you know, got 6-7 fights as an amateur wanting to make the run at a pro career come in and feel so intimidated?
That happens all the time. You know what I mean? But, you know, the thing is, my pros and my amateurs, they train together. There's not a separate practice. I mean, there's a morning practice that's more intense than let's say, the afternoon. But, I mean, once you get past to the level where you're sparring, you're coming in at 11 a.m. And those guys are all, you know what I mean, there's no time to be intimidated. You know, if you get stuck in the headlights, you're going to get beat up. You're going to get eaten up. You know, I mean, Liz Carmouche sent a lot of motherfuckers home with concussions. I thought they were hot shit, you know.
Well, she is a beast, that's for sure. I would want to have to be stepping across from her. And knowing that there's obviously a great group of talent around her that she gets to face, do you ever, in the gym, does she ever talk about any specific or fighters that she wants to face, past or present?
Liz will fight anyone we put in front of her. You know?
Cool.
She's not intimidated, you know what I mean? We've had, little issues between us before because my thing is that I feel like fighters should not fight injured at the high level in particular, you know. And she's a tough chick, and it's hard for her to say no, you know. But, I mean, let's say I'm not going to say which one, but, she's fought injured in the UFC. And it's like, it has led to a loss. So, she's at a point now where she's willing to face anyone, and she's finally healthy to the point where I'm willing to put her with anybody. She's a beast. I'm sorry?
Go ahead, Skip. Go ahead, Skip.
I was going to say, as a coach, with somebody that is that talented, that strong-hearted, that determined to be the very best, how difficult is it to get a fighter like that to sit down and say, look, I know you feel like you can fight, but I'm not going to let you?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing between me and the other coach, Bill Crawford. Bill Crawford, was the coach to Don Fry. When I was with the Wise Den, he was with Don Fry. He was with the likes of Dominic Cruz out in Arizona. And between the two of us, we're able to corral her pretty good. You know what I mean? But it's a team effort. It takes teamwork to make the dream work.
Nice. Let's switch gears here for a minute. And, Explode has been getting some bad press lately. You were the first one to jump to their defense because you've had a number of your fighters come to their organization. Let us know your feelings on that.
I think it's not fair, you know what I mean? And I like publications Bloody Elbow. I mean, I like their site, you know. The thing is, you know, I mean, they're jumping on Deshaun Johnson. And the thing is with MMA right now, I mean, the culture exists where fighters are getting built up. That's not just happening at Explode. That's not just happening in San Diego. That's happening all over the country. I've been to shows, you know what I mean, in buttfuck nowhere. It's the same fucking thing.
Do you know what I mean? It's funny you say that, because I'm not going to get into names and all that right now, but in the Pacific Northwest, there's a promotion that's well known for producing UFC fighters who seem to fail as soon as they get there. Well, I got a hold of a videotape of the promoter paying somebody off to take a dive so that guy would get X amount of wins so that he could make the tough show. And you're right. It happens everywhere. I've heard of stories in Florida. I know of an issue in Pennsylvania that has come to light recently. You know, the Pacific Northwest has had the issue. So for everyone to jump on this guy, first of all, without even knowing all the facts, just reading somebody's opinion, is horrible for the sport. And if he's doing it, it's even worse. But let the facts lay out on the table before you start judging.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's not like that this guy is paying anyone to take dives. I think that is not what's happening. What's happening is tough guys in San Diego are trying to get to the UFC. Right? So they're not taking fucking tough guys. They're not trying to fight these tough guys. You know what I mean? All the real fights right now, like the majority of the real fights, now, let me be fair, there are still tough guys out there that'll fight anybody. Whether or not that's good or they're good for their career or whatever, that's neither here nor there. These guys, you know, the guys that are here, man, they're just trying to build a career. They're trying to get on to the next step. They're trying to get to these bigger shows, you know, these RFAs and, like, you know, Titan. They're trying to step up. They're trying to step out of this regional level where they don't have to sell fucking 50 tickets or whatever. You know what I mean? You know, nobody wants to lose in their hometown when they don't have to. You know, they like here, the amateur system is fucking crazy. Like, it's choking the fucking life out of the state for professional fighting, for sure. That's my particular belief. I think that there should be a rule that if you're going to hold a sanctioned amateur show, that you say you have fucking eight amateur fights, and then you have the two guys at the top, you should have, like, two fucking pro fights. It should be law. It should be something. It's not fucking fair to these guys. I mean, it gives no incentive for people to try to go pro. You know?
I can't disagree.
I agree with you. And So, I mean, it's a tough situation. I don't think there's any wrongdoing on the part of the promoter. You know what I mean? He sets up fights between people that want to fucking fight. You know?
Well, you know, a lot of times, too, you get a situation where nobody wants to fight that fighter because of his record. So somebody with a lesser record is going to step up, try to make a name for themselves. You know what? I'll fight him. Fuck it.
Yeah. No shit. I mean, we got a bunch of fucking belts at our gym from last minute fights that we took. You know what I mean? With the win. You know what I mean? I'll fight that motherfucker. You know? That's why we can't fight in Mexico now.
So let me, as a team, you know, you guys take a 3-day, 2-day short notice fight, you come back with a belt. Is that not like one of the biggest pumps in the gym?
Fuck yeah. Holy shit, that's fucking amazing. Nothing like it. Nothing like it, you know what I mean? Like, it comes like from the smallest show to the biggest, we'll do it last minute, you know what I mean? Like, if it's worth, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? The juice has got to be worth the squeeze, right?
Definitely. Yeah.
We're going to go out there. That'll be fucking worth it, you know? You know, but that shit got us to Japan. It got us all over the world, you know? I've seen fucking 27 fucking countries.
Wow.
Man, that's four more than me. And I know how much traveling you've done.
I'll tell you a secret. I fucking hate traveling. I hate it.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm the same way now. And, like, everybody, you know, in the company, a lot of the guys who do go and do all the live reporting and events and interviews, they always give me crap, you know. But I was like, look, man, before any of you guys ever came here, I went from China to Germany and everywhere in between. I put, on the West Coast alone, I put 15,000 miles going to events in 1 year on my car. I was like, you know, look, I'm the boss and part owner of this company. I don't got to do that anymore, and I don't want to. I prefer just to work in the studio. You know, it's a much easier job now.
Yeah, dude, that doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, man. Like, But like I'm saying about these different promotions, it's the same everywhere. You know what I mean? Whether I'm fucking in Oklahoma or fucking Tampa, you know, whether we're getting fucking robbed in Connecticut, which we fucking did get robbed. You know? But, I mean, you know, there's a lot, dude. You know what I mean? Dude, the Liz fight and Mike De La Torre fight, we got robbed twice in the same week.
Oh!
You know what I mean?
Oh, man, that's horrible.
Yeah, dude. You imagine, dude? It's like if anything is going to give you a bad taste for the sport, it's that kind of situation. You know what I mean? You know? And talk about that.
Definitely.
People go, dude, something's up. You
what do you
know
think
I mean?
Needs to change? What do you think needs to change for us to get better judging?
Well, in Japan, the judges, I brought Alex Soto to fight out there in Japan, and the judges for the event were guys, you know what I mean? They're like Romina Sato. One other judge was Akira Soji, and I don't remember who the other guy was, but I mean, these are all guys that were well-established in fighting. You know, these guys are like Pride veterans, UFC veterans, guys that you know. You know what I mean? They know what the fuck they're looking at. You know? I think there should be, there should be some kind of fucking aptitude test. You know, I mean, like, fuck, man. It's like, you need a fucking license to catch a fish. I mean, some of these motherfuckers, are, you know what I mean? They're like, it's so hard for these motherfuckers don't even know. Like, you know, they're affecting the livelihood of these young guys, you know? Fucking terrible.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I think some of these old fighters, guys who have fought before, they need to step up and become judges. Because, you know, we're getting people who know nothing about the sport. You know, especially when, you know, they see somebody pull guard and they think they're losing. You know, pulling guard, you know, that's actually a dominant position. And you know, you can see the guy is losing because somebody else is on top of him, but he's not doing anything. So it's just ridiculous.
Or,
I mean,
or vice versa, the guy's on top and the guy on the bottom is doing all the work. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, you have to have a real understanding of what is happening in the sport, how to really judge, like, winning generalship, you know? It's like, the only way I can, like, let's go back to the Liz topic, Liz versus Misha. The only way I could judge, I could even understand how possibly they gave Misha that second round is when she put her arm, her two arms in the, like a modified over on the, you know, she kind of had the head and arm, like for a guillotine.
Yeah.
Sweep. For a sweep, she didn't squeeze on the guillotine at all. She just used it to kind of run the clock so she wouldn't get mauled. You know what I mean? It's the only way to see it, you know what I mean? But someone that has never been on the mat, it's not going to know the difference between an actual fucking guillotine, you know, arm in or no, and someone that's trying to set up a sweep.
It's a valid point. We see fights sometimes stopped ridiculously too late or ridiculously too early because they don't truly understand, A, what the competitor's going through, B, the difference between stopping an amateur and a pro fight is completely two different stories. They don't understand that just because, you know, the guy's in a rear naked choke and it's tucked, they're not paying attention to the fact that he's hand fighting and he's got enough space there to continue breathing safely. You know, they just jump in and start, okay, you know, I was scared he was going to get hurt. Well, you know, that's why, once again, you know, we need referees and judges involved in the sport. Like you said, A, understanding, B, having a background, and C, having a knowledge of more than just boxing or more than just wrestling. We need ex-fighters, ex-quality pro fighters, win or lose, records don't care. I'm talking about fighters who represented the sport well, whose technique showed and whose professionalism showed. That's who we need in the sport.
I think so, too. You know, I mean, but there should still be an aptitude test, you know. Wyatt Watson recently fought in Oklahoma on the Titan FC card down there, and the referee was Anthony Mad Dog Lucius. Do you remember this guy? He fought Dan Severn, and he got two played a bunch of times. Well, he refereed it, And then the guys bashing YL on the back of the fucking head, you know? Like, kneeing the guy. The guy is kneeing YL and elbowing him on the back of the head when YL's going for submission. And YL telling Anthony, this guy's fucking hitting me on the back of the head. And Anthony goes, you're making him do it. So between rounds, YL says, man, fuck you. You don't know what the fuck you're doing, you know? And he's, no, it's fine. But, I mean, like, he couldn't even, like, I don't know what it was, you know. I mean, I know Anthony, this year for a long time, you know what I mean? Like, he's refed some of our other guys' fights, but holy shit, dude. That shit is ridiculous, you know?
Well, you know, look what happened to Ultimate Fighter a couple of weeks ago. They take a point from the guy, and he still wins a decision.
I've never watched The Ultimate Fighter. I haven't watched it since season. Unless I have a guy on it, I don't really watch it. I will be watching the ones with the girls, because it's girls.
Yeah, well, the situation was, after the two rounds were tied, they went to a third round. The third round, they take a point away from the guy. Okay, so in the third round, they take a point from him. So that means he's basically lost the fight, because the other two rounds were tied, and they still gave him the win. You know, the ref was Steve Mazzagatti, and he kept telling him, you know, no 12 and 6 o'clock elbows. I'm going to take a point from you. He kept warning him, and finally he took a point. And it was ridiculous. I mean, I thought the guy was dominating, but you took the point from him. And, yeah, while we like to see finishes, but sometimes, you know, you got to go by the points. And if you lose a point, you can't win that round.
Well, was it a 10-8 round? You lost a point, and the other guy was doing so poorly that it was 10-8. You lose one point. You're still up 9, right?
No. I think it was 10-9, so it came out to 9-9, so it should have been a draw.
For a draw? Huh. I didn't see it. That sucks. Well, you know, it's a show, dude. So, you know, I mean, there's no telling what happens between the time it makes air, you know, it happens and when it actually makes air, you know?
Yeah. Okay, let's switch gears here real quick. We can get back to MMA right now. I know you wanted to review some movies.
I really liked Godzilla.
Did you? I'm getting mixed reviews on that. Some old school people don't like it. Some of these youngsters like it. I haven't seen it yet.
If you're really old school, then you'll equate it to the one with Raymond Burr. You know what I mean? Where it's like, you know, it's more about the side story, more than the fact that there's a guy in a rubber suit smashing a city, like a model city. You know what I mean? It's pretty good. I liked it.
I'll check it out. But my big question is, Baby Gadzooki in it?
No.
Oh, then I don't want to watch it.
But they got. it's pretty good though, dude, because they introduced some new monsters, and then like, of course, I saw an IMAX because I'm baller like that. And it was pretty dope, dude. I have to admit that I like the new X-Men, you know. Sometimes they're cheesy, but what are you going to do? It's a fucking comic book, you know. I really enjoyed that thing.
Yeah, that one I have to go watch for my girlfriend. She's a big comic book movie fan. Sure. So I told her, well, you know, we got to watch Godzilla for me, and we'll watch X-Men for her.
Well, what I like about, like, comic book movies is, like, you know, to expect it. You know what I mean? You suspend your disbelief. You just kind of want to get entertained for a little bit. You know what I mean? You kind of want to follow the story, but more than anything, you want the effect. I want to be 12 years old, and I want to be, you know, and thoroughly entertained for fucking 2 hours.
Oh, no, I feel you on that, because, like, with G.I. Joe, for me, it wasn't about a storyline. It was watching my toys come to life.
Oh, yeah. That's fun, you know what I mean? I wanted to see who they're going to get to play, the hot characters, you know, Baron, Scarlet, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
They got this new Transformers that's coming out, too. And I don't know. I got this kind of mixed feelings about the Dinobots, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like it's a good idea, but I think it's whack that no matter what you turn into, you're still fucking walking.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I never looked at it like that. You just changed my whole outlook on life. Oh, wow. That was... I mean, we're going to clip that right now. I'm going to tell you, that could be clip of the year for our year-end review show right now.
Definitely, definitely.
It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know, whatever. So, yeah, so basically, we got a bunch of fights coming up. Some of them will be an explode. And until then, we're just kind of waiting to see Wilde's next fight in Titan. He's going to be fighting that guy. I can't remember his name, but his nickname is Sharkbait.
Oh, Gutierrez.
Yeah, that's right. That's
yeah,
right.
He's
so
out of the mid. Yeah, out of Missouri, I believe, or Arkansas, something like that.
Yeah. It should be good. And then tonight, some of our guys from the our buddies from the Freak Show, they're competing in the Eddie Bravo Invitational, which is like a really big deal jiu-jitsu tournament that it's submission only. The same night as the World Jiu-Jitsu Championships. So it's happening now, and I know that both Gio and Boogie just won both of their first round matches. So we're pretty stoked about that.
Awesome. Before any of your upcoming fights, you know, anybody, because you know we got listeners all over the country, all over the world. Where can they go to get tickets?
Most of those are going to be local, so you can definitely come by the gym. And you can check out our gym, too, you know. It's sdcombataccademy.com. And, you know, come by. You'll get to work with, like, there's no kind of separation, you know what I mean? Like, when you come in and you're not going to feel like, oh, you know, those people are too good to talk to me or whatever, you know what I mean? You're going to be hanging out, like, Liz Carmouche is going to teach you classes, and it's not going to be like some kind of special thing. She's there every day. She's the one that answers the phone. She's going to kill me for saying that because I know a bunch of fucking nerds are going to call her tomorrow.
Hello?
Who's there? But I mean, like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, that's one of the things about our gym. We take great pride in the fact that every single person that works there, down to the janitor, has fought, you know? And so you're not going to get anyone talking out of their ass about what you should or shouldn't do. So, yeah, check it out. We're going to have some new video content and all kinds of cool, like, forums and stuff. So.
And by the way, let me jump in. The fans are saying it's Anthony Gutierrez out of Kansas City. And saying he brings a hell of a fight. So, fans, you guys get out there and support this event. Get tickets. Whatever fan you're for, whatever fighter you're for, whatever team you're for, go buy one of their T-shirts. Do me this one favor, this event. Somebody just show up. Take $20 after the fights are over, walk up to a fighter and give it to him and say, this is for gas so you can get to work this week. Just do this. Support them somehow. Somehow. Buy a T-shirt. Go to their sponsor and get the brake job or your muffler fixed or, you know, a T-shirt. Just something, man. Help these guys out. If you know a fighter who has a baby, go buy him a pack of diapers and drop it off at the gym and say, thank you for being an entertaining fighter for us fans so we can enjoy this sport. Do something this weekend to help out. Don't be a lazy, you know, bandwagon fan. Support the sport you love.
Hell yeah. Titan FC, by the way, is going to be on CBS. It's going to be awesome. So it's going to be on regular CBS, too. You're not going to have to, like, get some kind of, like, special cable or whatever to see it.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Yeah. So
what day is that again?
I'll let you know the date. Nothing confirmed yet, you know. But that's coming up. Also, the return of Alex Soto. Alex Soto's just got back from the Middle East, and so he's back in camp now, and he's going to be making a return fight in July 19th here in San Diego.
Soto was a
and
huge.
Tickets are going to it's going to be great. Man. He's one of the best to come out of Tijuana.
Hey, Ray, you see? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, finish.
I was going to say that he was also on the American Gladiators. And he got a raw deal on there because he's 135 pounder, and he was saying that the guys that are the gladiators are like 6'8", so it's really not fair, like at all. And you're trying to climb up the wall, and the wolf is chasing you down, and he's like 300 pounds.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to see that show now with some MMA fighters on it. You know, I know back in the 90s when it was really popular, when it first came out, a friend of mine actually won the whole thing and won International Gladiators too. Needless to say, he's
hey, they do. Have you not seen the new American Gladiators? It's a show that I've been watching for 3 years out of Russia that's now an American-based TV show called The Hip Show. And it's arena combat on a three-dimensional obstacle course. It's two fighters. You got to be pro fighters. You team up against two other fighters. It's a cool little sport to watch.
Yeah, that's that show we were talking about. We had Max Cisneros on talking about it with him, and he wants to do it.
You know, 5-on-5? Is that the 5-on-5 one?
Well, in Russia, they do 5-on-5, 3-on-2, 2-on-1. That's how each round breaks down. But here they're only doing 2-on-2 all the way through. So I'm hoping next season we see teams again where we can do a 5-on-5 because, I mean, could you imagine, like, I mean, the list of names you could put together as two fighters to go against two other fighters? Oh, that's just crazy. And the concept is basically you walk out of a bar and two dudes try to jump you. What would you do? You have all this obstacles, cars, trash cans, walls. Would you climb? Would you jump? You know, would you crawl under? Would you just corner two guys on one and beat the crap out of them? I love this show. It's
I'd love to see a team made of Mayhem Miller and Uriah Hall.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. I think people truly underestimate Miller as a fighter because of his antics in and out of the cage. I think he's truly been disrespected by the media for what he's done over the years. Take away UFC. Look at what he did previous to that as a fighter for the sport. I think he's somebody who's just...
I love that guy since he was in Super Brawl, since he beat Egan in a way, you know what I mean? He was a tough, exciting fighter and brought attention to all these different parts of the world, you know what I mean? Like, it was really great, you know. People forget, you know, this is a guy that fought Sakuraba, you know what I mean? He's, you know, even though he was a little bit older, you know.
I mean, he's a beast. I mean, I've always been a big fan of his. And I think,
you know, he's an entertainer. I will say that I thought that I did see that Ultimate Fighter season, and that was the one that made me go, oh, man, I thought this was going to be way funnier. You know, I just expected a bunch of pranks, way more awesome and, like, you know, way over-the-line stuff, you know what I mean? But I was like, oh, you know, I still like Jason Miller. He's a cool guy, and he's been super cool, you know?
Well, he's making a comeback. He's going to be fighting soon.
Good.
And
good.
You know,
I remember I remember seeing that guy fight. I think he fought Toby Amata at the Galaxy. Is that right? Galaxy Theater. But it was a while ago. Like I want to say it was like 2000 or something. I guess he was fighting a long.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's gonna be fighting this summer. I think in July.
Who's he fighting?
They're still looking for an opponent.
Where
now? Is he going to fight in Cali?
I forgot the name of the promotion, but Tracy Hess is the one who was looking for an opponent for him.
Oh, sure. I like Tracy Hess.
That's Tracy Hess. We've got to get him on the show.
Now, you guys remember when, I mean, this is way back, but I want to say it was down in Southern California maybe when he fought for Rumble on the Reservation when he fought Chael Sonnen. And the cage broke, a portion of the cage broke, so the two agreed to fight only on three quarters of the cage.
Yeah, I think that happened here, right?
I can't remember where. That was one of his, like, first 8-9 fights when I first, you know, started following him.
It was like Team Punishment versus Team Quest, right? Something like that?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Yep.
Yeah.
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 That's right before. That was right before the Toby fight.
Yeah. Yeah. Some good times, man. You know, that's when was with the Lions.
Yeah. Well, that's when fighters were fighters and not athletes that fight.
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, you know, like, we bring guys to events like King of the Cage then and, like, you have your one guy that's fighting, and then you have 10 other guys with their breakaways ready to go.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? There's a reason why you see the old lines and guys, you know what I mean? They're all like, you know, in their warm-ups. They're ready to go just in case it pops off, you know?
Yo. Well, before we run out of time, because we're going to have to play a commercial break at the end of the show, man, any sponsors, any social media, any shout-outs, anything you want to get out there, just take a run at it.
Okay. I'll shout-out all the different sponsors that have been helping us over the years. Ranger Up has been a great sponsor, of course. Alchemist Management has helped us a great deal. We take 40 Thieves Clothing. Amazing clothing brand, and if you order anything on there, you can, like, let's say you order MMA shorts, you can ask for the Liz cut, and they'll make your board shorts shorter, so you can show your leg meat or whatever.
Nice.
But let's see, who else? Oh, Build and Destroy, Build and Destroy Clothing. They've been helping, like, dude, they do so much for us in terms of, like, video stuff. Let's see. Out for Blood, they're awesome. So, you know, go and check all those brands out. You know, they help us tremendously. And, you know, without them, you know, we couldn't get to fights. We couldn't get all this extra stuff. Also, two more. Happy Head, check out happyhead.com. They're like 10 locations for massage in San Diego. Their slogan is, I know fucking you know fucking me, only massage. And,
That's tight. I like that.
And then Rose Auto. This is a great little, it's like they sell like Cadillacs and Lexuses and BMWs and Mercedes, luxury cars that are previously used. And so what happens is with our sponsorship, they have to drive us to every local event. They take us to all the weigh-ins. They take us to all the fight events that are local here. So it's a great sponsorship.
Nice.
All right, guys.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on, bro. We'll definitely have you on soon again. I mean, it was a great time. You know, maybe we need to do this over a beer next time. But
yeah, fuck yeah,
great.
Dude. I've been drinking the entire time. So I miss beer talking to you guys.
Well, hey, have a good night, brother. Thank you so much.
All right, brother. I'd like to, you know, let's do it again soon. Specifically, let's do it when The Walking Dead comes back on. All right, guys.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Dude, man, great lineup tonight, Ray. Did you stack this show with some great, great guests from beginning to end? I don't know if we could have asked for a better show tonight. And I do want to make one comment right now. There's a member of the MMA media back east in the Midwest who's been listening to the show. You're a name dropper, dropping Krause and Cummings in that post. I see what you're doing. I saw that. Okay, so
that
sorry, Ray. That's HR for you. He's like, I'm a name drop so everyone on the West Coast knows who he's training with.
Nice. You know, it's like every week it just keeps getting better. You know, it's like, you know, my dad always asked me after, you know, well, how was the show? I said, you know, it was the best show yet. Because that's what you said last week. Well, this one was that much more better. You know, not to take anything away from any other show. It's just, you know, we're getting – everyone wants to be on the show. And it's showcasing SoCal MMA at its best.
100% agree with you, brother. What you do on your show, Sunday Night Fights Live, is what our company's all about, and that's opening the eyes to new fans in other places about your local MMA scene at MMA Madhouse. You know, and I say it every week on this show, and I'll probably say it another 100 episodes, but we are so glad that you came to our network to do a show, and because I think the fighters, the gym owners, the promoters, the cornermen, the doctors, the ring girls, the people involved in the movie industry promoting this sport, it's been an amazing run of shows already. And I'm not going to lie, I will probably tell you right now that Paulo and T-Bone got to be my two favorite guests so far, hands down.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And I want to thank you for those words. And, you know, they're actually – two people I actually like to get advice from, Paulo and T-Bone.
Well, Paulo tonight, he took me back to being a true member of the media with a passion to learn from somebody and to open that story, because his opinion of the U.S. Muay Thai scene, I feel so wholeheartedly that he is 100% right on that. And to be able to start picking his brain about individual segments of his thought was so fun for me. And, you know, I can't thank you once again for everything you do for your local MMA scene, for MMA Madhouse, and for having me hang out with you. You know, a little fat Mexican Jew on your show every week is good for the culture.
Well, you know, thank you, Skip. And, you know, we had discussed this, you know, way back when we started the show about finding a co-host. I don't think I could have a better co-host. You know, it's great. You know, I love working with you.
Well, you know, it's so funny because this was never supposed to be this way. You were originally going to have a co-host, and that didn't happen the way you wanted it to. So I just filled in, and it's worked out so well as a team, you know, me working with you on your show. I mean, I'm honored to be your co-host on Sunday Night Fights Live. I truly am. And, you know, we've got a few minutes left. I just need, you know, about a minute and a half to play the commercial and our closeout music. So before we run out of time, why don't you run at it and give some shout-outs?
You know, definitely. You know, everyone come out in the alley area at the UFC gym on Saturday at 11 o'clock on Rosemead Boulevard off the 10 freeway. Takedown will be in the house for Jonathan Santa Maria's big charity event. Terrion Ware will be there. You know, he's the Bama champ, IFS champ, you know, soon to be hopefully UFC or Bellator champ in the near future. Got all kinds of great fighters. You know, Jonathan's a beast himself. He's got some great vendors out there. So come on out, support, bring a bottle of water or a bottle of sunscreen, sealed bottle, and let's help these guys out with what they need. It's a great show. You know, don't drink and drive. And thanks a lot, Skip.
Hey, always, you know, I want to thank Persist Headwear for sponsoring this show and supporting their local MMA scene. Ray, always a great show with you. We're going to play Jax Media commercial, and then we'll hit the music. So, folks, like always, Eagle.
Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
Who gives it up and who be rocking all that rough stuff? All in the cut is young dads with the pimp strut. Strut game on.